starburst of incandescent blue light expands and dissipates. BBC Films. In slow motion, cascading water, then salmon swimming upstream. BBC Films, Lionsgate UK, and the UK Film Council present a Kudos Pictures production. In association with Davis Films Productions. Ewan McGregor, Emily Blunt, a Lasse Hallström film. A man in a long red robe stands in the middle of a large loch, fishing.
Dear Dr. Jones, I act on behalf of a client with access to very substantial funds who has indicated a desire to sponsor a project to introduce salmon and the sport of salmon fishing into the Yemen. I would like to seek a meeting with you to identify how this challenging project might be initiated and resourced. I might add that the Foreign and Commonwealth Office supports the project as a symbol of Anglo-Yemeni cooperation. Yours sincerely, Harriet Chetwood Talbot, Ms. Fitzharrison Price, Investment Consultants.
Harriet clicks on send, then tidies up her papers and leaves her desk, hurrying out of the office.
Night, have a good evening.
You too.
Say hi to Soldier Boy. We're just friends, you know, we've only met a couple of times.
Yeah, you tell me that on Monday.
Oh, shut up.
Harriet, who has shoulder-length dark hair, heads outside. A handsome man comes over to her.
Hello.
Hi, it's great to see you.
Yes, me too. Sorry.
Yes?
Yes.
You too. No, yes is a start.
Stop
it's
it,
fine.
I'm so nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I don't know, I'm trying to be very sophisticated and grown up.
Right. No, grown up, absolutely. Mm. Quite right, yeah. Harriet?
Yes?
Last one to the restaurant pays.
What? Oh, you bastard!
Dear Harriet Chetwood Talbot, thank you for your email. As a fisheries specialist, permit me a word or two about salmon. Migratory salmonoids require cool, well-oxygenated water in which to spawn. In addition, in the early stages of the salmon's life cycle, a good supply of fly life indigenous to the northern European rivers is necessary for the juvenile salmon, or parr, to survive. Some considerable distance from the Indian Ocean, or indeed the Red Sea, as I am sure you are aware, though apparently not the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. We conclude that conditions in the Yemen make this project unfeasible.
Fundamentally unfeasible.
Yes, yes, fundamentally unfeasible. We therefore regret that we are unable to help you any further in this matter. Yours, Alfred Jones, Doctor.
I've put duck liver patty in your sandwich.
Oh, that's lovely.
Righto, I'm off to bed.
Already?
Airport car's coming at 5.
Righto. I maybe have another wee pass at the Cadis fly paper. You could read it on the aeroplane.
Up to my ear in reports, darling. I'll read it when I'm back.
Right then. Good night.
Harriet and her date are kissing passionately in a front room. He slips off his jacket.
Oh my God, I don't do this. I don't do this.
No, I can tell. Oh,
I haven't done this in a really long time.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so shy.
Okay, no, I'll sleep on the sofa.
Oh, I'm so shy.
Look, Harriet, I mean...
Shut up.
You were saying you're shy.
I am shy and... Hitler, I'm serious. Robert, I don't do this and then forget me. I just don't want to be an army barracks joke in the morning. Please be nice to me.
I'm serious too. I mean it. If you want me to sleep on the sofa...
If you say Captain Myers one more time, you'll sleep on the sofa. You'll bloody well sleep on the sofa.
Captain Robert Myers, 364772...
Oh! Maxwell, better be good. What?
Code red in Afghanistan.
Go to sleep. Oh, tell me that's not a mask.
Oh, well, it
is a religious establishment.
Of course it's a bloody mosque.
What's up?
Go to sleep. No, 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 no. The British have absolutely nothing to do with this whatsoever. And I want every single man, woman, child, and goat in Afghanistan to know that. My God, I didn't think we could make the war in Afghanistan any less popular, but hey, even I can be wrong. We have Vera Lynn strapping on her suicide belt and sympathy next. Bravo, the bloody Marines.
The Government Press Office, London.
Right, you lot. We need a good news story from the Middle East, a big one. And we need it now. You've got an hour. Get on with it.
The press officers get to work, looking up good news stories from the Middle East on the internet.
Oh, good news, eh? New girl band, Middle East tour. Oh, maybe. Maybe. Okay. No, maybe not. No. British Trans-Arabian Rally. Oh, for God's sake. Come on, come on, come up with something. What's this? Project to introduce salmon fishing to the Yemen. Salmon fishing. Salmon fishing in the Yemen. Is that the best you puffed-up, Oxbridge-educated, moronic buffoons can come up with?
Yes. Oh, yes, Prime Minister. Well, no, I'm working on it right now. I think I may have come up with something that you'll like.
Salmon fishing. Salmon fishing. Are you dolly trying to get me fired? Oh, well, here we go. Fish it is.
Patricia Maxwell heads into number 10. Fred arrives at the Department of Fisheries and Agriculture.
Morning. Good morning.
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 At his desk, he takes out a fishing rod and presses a rubber fish into an ink pad. Then he casts off, flicking the inky fish at a poster of a grey-haired man.
Mrs. Maxwell on line one, sir.
Busy.
She says it's urgent, sir.
Maxwell who?
Press officer to the Prime Minister, sir.
Patricia.
Oh, they haven't pensioned you off yet, then? Listen, I got the heads up from the FCO about this salmon fishing in the Yemen. Fancy it?
Well,
We do. Chasing a good news story out of the Middle East, Anglo-Yemeni relations back on track, Arab-Western cultural detente through the ancient sport of yanking poor sodding fish out of rivers. What do you reckon?
Well, it's a bit of a long shot, to be honest.
Well, don't be honest. Lunatic's an oil sheik, got money pouring out of his arse. Good friend of the West. Good friend of the party, too. So, give it a go, eh, Dolly?
Well, we'll certainly bend every sinew to the job, Patricia. I'll set up a working party immediately.
What? Hey! Don't you working party me, you short-arsed little pin-pusher. I did not say kick it into the long grass. I said do it!
Yes, Patricia. Right away.
Sugden hangs up.
Mr. Jones?
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Betty. Trust you had a nice weekend.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Sugden would like a word.
Would he indeed? What do you think of that?
Oh.
It's for the Caddisfly report. Needs something racy for the cover, something to rev up the YouTube generation. I know it's not quite what we would expect from a scientific paper, but we must keep up with the times, Mrs. Burnside.
Mr. Sugden asked to see you, Mr. Jones.
Well, I'm not too sure that I don't have a picture of a caddis being eaten alive by a spider somewhere.
Sugden comes in.
There it is. Oh, that's a beauty. What do you think about that for...
Good God.
A little too much, you think?
Well, not if you're making a horror film. Look, this email about the salmon thing.
Oh, yes, did I miss April Fool's Day or something? Did you like my little swipe at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office wonks?
Yeah, well, I just had another email from the FCO today.
Rattle their cage, did I?
Don't, you wouldn't take a meeting with her, would you, this chat with Torbert woman?
She represents this Sheikh Mohammed bloke.
Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to traipse across London to discuss that nonsense? I have very important work to do here, as you can very well see.
Yeah, well, the FCO and their infinite W feel that a meeting on this is important business too, Alfred.
Lord, the tendrils of this busybody government.
Dr. Jones, as your operational line manager, I am asking you with extreme prejudice to take a meeting with Harriet Chetwold Talbot.
Oh, I take it that's an order.
Take it how you wish.
Nazi.
Why
Morning.
Now, Fred's sitting in a cavernous reception hall.
Dr. Jones?
Miss Chetwood Talbot is expecting me.
Yes, it's a bit of a mouthful. Do call me Harriet.
Oh, nice to meet you.
You too, do you want to come with me?
Yes.
He follows her over to her office.
Do come in. You can sit down. Yep, anywhere you like. Would you like tea or coffee?
No, thank you.
So, Fitzharrison Price represent the Sheikh's assets in this country, including a number of estates in Scotland. He's a very keen fisherman, so he asked us
water.
If we would... Sorry?
Water, Miss Chetwood Talbot, H2O.
Do you want sparkling or still?
Not for me, for the fish. Fish require water. You are familiar with that concept.
Yes, I am, yes.
So, to save us both a lot of time, let me keep this brief and simple. Here, it's very cold. It rains a lot.
Mm.
Here, it's very hot. It doesn't rain a lot. Do you see the difference?
Well, you're pointing to Saudi Arabia, Dr. Jones, not the Yemen.
You seem to be deliberately missing the point.
With respect, not really. You see, unlike Saudi Arabia, parts of the Yemen get up to 250 millimetres of rainfall a month in the wet season. It gets the edge of the monsoon, you see?
And the dry season?
Well, interestingly, recent oil explorations have uncovered a number of very large freshwater aquifers which could sort of recharge the Wadi in the dry season using a dam.
I'm sure they could. So, when he's built his dam, why don't you get back to me then?
Completed a couple of years ago. Long-term plan is to irrigate thousands of acres of desert. We could grow watermelons, maize, cotton...
Now you're going to tell me it isn't hot in the Yemen too, aren't you?
Well, in the mountainous areas, the nighttime temperatures get down to well below 20 Celsius. And of course, I defer to your expert knowledge, Dr. Jones, but I do believe that Pacific salmon get as far south as California. Temperatures are not too dissimilar there.
Water.
For the fish?
No, for me.
Of course.
Ms. Chetwood Talbot.
Yes, Dr. Jones.
This is plainly ridiculous. I mean, there's just no way that salmon can survive in those sort of environments. If your sheikh wants to pour his money down the drain, why doesn't he buy himself a football club or something?
Look, Dr. Jones, I don't really think it's my place to explain the sheikh's motivations. But I will say this, that of all of our wealthy clients, he is different. I would go so far as to describe him as a visionary man.
A visionary?
Yes, I know. It's not a very fashionable word, but if you decide to take this project with us, then you can judge for yourself when you meet him.
My line manager asked me to come here and take this meeting to discuss your project, and that I have done. I thank you for your time, Mrs. Chetwood Talbot. I'll see myself out. Goodbye. Thank you.
He walked into a glass wall on his way out. Later, in Sugden's office.
Did you get my email?
Yes. What did it say?
Took the meeting. Waste of time, as predicted. Now, if you don't mind, I'll get back to my work.
Hey, Dr. Jones.
He holds out a letter.
What is this?
P-45.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Oh, well, a P-45 is the official document given to an employee when his services are no longer required by his or her employer.
Yes, but Bernard, this has got my...
Or... You can sign this letter stating that you are delighted to assign yourself exclusively to the Yemeni salmon fishing project with immediate effect. It's up to you.
But, Bernard, you know as well as I do, this thing is a bloody joke. I mean, there's no way you can get salmon that far up a...
Just there.
This is blackmail, Sugden. This is a bloody outrage.
Fitzharrison Price will be paying your salary while on secondment, almost double what it is now. I'd say that's a bloody outrage.
Double. Can I have time to think about this?
No.
Can I borrow your pen?
No. It's my special one with the italic nib.
Fred grabs it and signs. Then he walks out. In a church, he and his wife Mary are practicing in the church band. Fred's on the cello, Mary's on the trombone.
What have you got in bar 7?
I should have resigned.
You can't afford to resign.
Matter of principle. You have a standing in the scientific community, Mary. A reputation.
You have a mortgage.
2, 3, 4.
Fred concentrates on the music, then glances over at Mary. Later, they step out into the pouring rain. Mary checks her phone underneath her umbrella.
Maybe I should resign. We could have a baby. Why not? You could stay on at work and I could bring up the nipper. I could take him to the park and to school. I could take him fishing.
What do you think?
They're really losing the plot in Geneva. One minute they're buying euros, the next minute they can't ditch them fast enough for dollars. They're panicking and guess who they want to bail them out?
I can't imagine.
Say a command.
Shut up.
Say a command.
Shut up.
Say a command.
What were you shouting about back there?
Oh, nothing.
Say a command.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, that should do you for a while.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
Fred rolls off her and onto his back.
Good night.
Night, dear.
Fred watches the reflection from the rain dancing on the ceiling.
Oh, Jesus. good morning. Yes, Duff.
Robert looks at Harriet.
I've got to go.
No.
Yeah, that was the call. Sorry.
Is it Afghanistan?
It's semi-sandy, that's for sure.
I'll go get some tea.
No, it's all right, Robert.
It's
all... Look, the last few weeks... This is good.
Wonderful.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how long I'm going to be. Will you wait for me?
She nods with a smile.
Now go get that tea.
Fred leaves his house and sets off down the street.
Well, firstly, we would need to trap 10,000 salmon from the North Sea for the sake of argument, get them to the Yemen alive, don't ask me how, where they would be deposited in temperature and oxygen-controlled holding tanks built into a wadi that would, hallelujah, open during the rainy season, allowing the salmon to migrate upstream for, say, 10 kilometres, which would allow your sheikh to hoik them out of the water to his heart's content. Of course, until the dry season, when they will all die.
Well, unless we feed the wadi all year round using the dam.
Of course, stupid idiot man. Why not use precious water resources to support one-man sport fishing? So, now that we have year-round water, why not build some gravel spawning grounds, breed the world's first Arabian salmon, and teach the clever fellows to migrate to the Indian Ocean.
Wonderful, wonderful
singing,
idea.
Step we gaily, here we go, heel for heel and toe for toe.
Rough cost?
Cost? 40 million. No, 50 million.
Dollars.
Or pounds.
Pounds. Mm-hmm.
At least.
Harriet writes it all down.
So it's theoretically possible?
Well, it's theoretically possible in the same way as a manned mission to Mars is theoretically possible.
It's very impressive, Dr. Jones.
No, it's not. It's nonsense. Look, I just made it all up.
No, the drawing. Real talent, if I might say so. Excellent start. So I suppose we should just crack
you
on and get things started
now. You can't hold me to this.
Now.
I mean, these are just random ideas. I mean, this is a sort of joke.
Well, I'm sure you wouldn't joke about a £50 million project, Dr. Jones, not when you're in charge of it. Well, the Sheikh is so looking forward to meeting you, and he'll be back in the next couple of weeks. So, in the meantime, is there anything else that I can do for you?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Could you arrange a meeting with the hydro engineering team from the Three Gorges Dam?
The one in China.
Is there another?
I...
British Oxygen Company, meeting with them as well. And then, what are those great big transport aircraft called? The big Russian military... Antonovs.
Mm.
Find out about renting two of those. One for the fish, and one to carry all the money that we're going to need. When that's done, I'd be delighted to start working. Good day, Ms. Chetwood-Talbot.
Good day, Dr. Jones.
Now, Fred's walking back along the suburban street, his home in the sunshine. He does a little jig and quickly checks behind him to make sure no one was watching. At home, he takes the stairs two at a time.
I told her I wanted a meeting with the Three Gorges Dam team from...
Where are you going?
Geneva, I told you.
You didn't say no.
Well, I am. Tomorrow.
Well, how long are you going for?
6 weeks to start with.
6 weeks?
There's no need to shout.
6 weeks, though, Mary.
This is a big chance for me. I'll be heading up the whole operation. Well, you could say congratulations.
Fred walks out. Now, Fred's in the back garden throwing bread to his koi carp in the pond. Mary comes out of the house and starts to walk over to him.
Enough is enough. It's a job and marriage. You've got to make a decision and make it now, goddammit.
Mary joins him, and he hands her some bread.
There are planes, you know, Fred. And I get Sundays off. Mostly. You can get all your horrible old fishing stuff out again.
Didn't even ask me. Just went and did it.
I know. I'm sorry. Just suddenly seemed like the right decision. Maybe for both of us. Fred, I don't want to leave on bad terms.
No. No. I'll open a bottle of something fizzy, okay?
Reports are coming in from Afghanistan of a British soldier killed while on duty in Helmand Province. An improvised explosive device detonated during a routine search in a local village. This...
Harriet switches channel on the radio in her kitchen and munches on a piece of toast. Patricia Maxwell's on the phone at home in her apron.
The Minister for Culture's being photographed doing what? Naked or clothed? Boy or girl? How old? Oh, Jesus. Well, at least she's legal.
Press statement from us saying that we're a party of policy, not personality. Concentrating on the real issues of getting this country back on track in times of economic hardship and not tabloid sensationalism, etc., etc., etc. Meanwhile, get the useless Oz on the front page of every paper, apologising for being born, big spread and hello with blonde forgiving wife and cute kids. If they're not cute, find a horse or something. Joshua Hood!
Don't you suck your teeth at me, young man. I'm not one of your bitches from the Baltimore lowrises. You feel me? I'm your fucking mother!
Joshua puts his hood back up.
Got to go. Meeting.
She's received a text telling her Sheikh Mohammed's transferred £50 million for the salmon fishing in Yemen project. Fred clicks on his inbox.
Dear Dr. Jones, the Sheikh has requested your company at his estate in Glentullock to discuss the salmon project further. Please advise which dates would suit you best. Many thanks, Harriet Chetwood Talbot, Fitzharris and Price.
Mr. Sugden would like to see you in the canteen, sir.
Up his arse with a meter ruler. Thanks, Betty.
Which one is he?
Over here. Fred. Can I introduce Patricia Maxwell? She is the Prime Minister's press officer.
Hello.
50 million. From Sheikh Mohammed Thingamy.
It's the first stage payment on research development for the salmon fishing project.
The PM's keeping a close eye on this one. It's just what we need right now, a bit of Anglo-Arab news that isn't about things that explode. I want to know, is it a goer?
Goer? Well, look, the complexities, I mean, I barely know even where to begin, but, well, just for starters, we would need 10,000 live salmon.
Oh, is 10,000 salmon a lot?
Well, if they're to come from British waters, and I don't see where else they're going to come from, I mean, you would need the permission of the Environment Agency.
Oh, that's your job, Bernard. OK, so you get onto the EA and get this man his salmon.
Mrs.
Happily married. Details and who's who.
Mrs. Maxwell, there are 2 million fishermen in the UK who are, I would say, unusually protective.
How many?
2 million.
2 million?
Yes.
Bloody hell. 2 million? Out there waving the little rods around?
Uh-huh.
Are they the kind that vote our way?
They vote for those that best look after their fish, in my experience.
Oh, I bet they do. Oof. Right, so, Prime Minister on the front cover of Fishy Weekly or whatever, best friend of the British fisherfolk, spearing a leaping salmon away like this. I like it a lot. They do have magazines, these people. They can read.
The Angling Times, Trout and Salmon, Course Fishing Monthly, Bass Mania.
Bass Mania? Marvellous. Marvellous. That's marvellous. Oh. Oh. This has just become a priority project. Anything I can do, just give me a call. 2 million. God, man, what a species.
I don't think she got the right end of the stick there.
Your call, I think, Bernard. 10,000 native Atlantic salmon on my desk by Friday, please. Ta-ta.
Yeah, well, you just better come through on this, Jones.
Patricia sends an instant message to the Prime Minister. Can you fish? He replies, it depends. She says, yes or no. For bleep's sake, there are 2 million voters out there with bleeping fishing rods. He replies, in that case, I can fish. Fred's in a helicopter above a lake.
It's been a long time since I was back.
Oh, yes?
A long time.
Harriet's sitting in the front. A castle appears amidst a forest at the edge of the lake. They come in to land, and men in headscarves and long white robes hurry out of the castle, lining the driveway up to the entrance. Harriet and Fred climb out of the helicopter, Fred carrying their bags. Two of the servants come to take their bags from them. Inside, a man in a suit comes down a grand staircase.
Malcolm the butler.
Hello.
This is Dr. Jones.
Welcome to Glentully, sir. His Excellency thought you might like to avail yourself of the fishing while you're waiting.
Oh. Thank you very much.
Fred takes a flight out of a box sitting on the four-poster bed. A river meandering through moorland. Fred casts off, standing on a rock in the middle of the river. Bringing the line back, he casts off again. Now he grabs hold of a rock and hauls himself up a slope, his face falling when he sees Sheikh Mohammed and his entourage standing at the top of a grassy hill. The Sheikh smiles and waves. Fred gives a brisk wave back, then continues to clamber up the slope.
I present Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Bani Tihamis. This is Dr. Jones.
It's a great pleasure to meet you, Your Excellency.
To meet the creator of the Willie Jones, the pleasure's all mine, sir.
Oh, that's very kind.
But shit we're told, but do you realise that for more than 10 years, I have fished with a Willie Jones?
Really? What's a Willie Jones?
Dr. Jones invented a famous fly.
Well, it's a sentimental habit that some fly tyres have, calling a fly after them. Anyway, I don't approve of that sort of thing, normally, but...
Willie Jones. It's a great name.
Bloody good fly, that's for sure. Please allow me to show you a delightful lie just around the corner.
Absolutely. Lead on.
You think I'm mad?
No, Your Excellency,
Of course you do. I would question your judgment if you did not. Though I have judgment enough to know that under there lies a fish, much cleverer than I. I'm a great admirer of the British, for many reasons. But still, there are mysteries to me. The rich are frightened of the poor. The poor are frightened of the rich. And even your politicians. They try to sound like the people on the EastEnders.
Ah.
A wonderful program, but still.
Yes, the great British class system.
Indeed. But fishermen, I have noticed, they don't care whether I'm brown or white, rich or poor, wearing robes or waders. All they care about is the fish, the river, and the game we play. For fishermen, the only virtues are patience, tolerance, and humility. I like this.
The Sheikh casts his fly into the water, then looks at Fred.
You are struck dumb by my naivety, Dr. Alfred.
No, you're on.
What?
You're on.
This is a sign.
A sign?
A sign that I should stop talking bollocks and fish. Come here.
The salmon struggles on the end of his line, but the Sheikh's helper catches it in a net.
Nicely done, sir. Very nicely done.
Now the three men are walking down a country road. Back at the castle that evening, Fred's in black tie. As he's about to head downstairs, he turns to see Harriet wearing a long black evening dress.
It's Chetwood Talbot.
Oh, hello, Dr. Jones.
Is that yours? The dress?
Yes.
This is not mine.
It suits you very well.
Thank you. They seem to know my size. That not strike you as a wee bit sinister? The idea of the Sheikh's tailor tracking me across London with some kind of satellite measuring device.
They asked me for your size, and I took a guess.
Oh. Well, for future reference, I have a 32-inch waist, Miss Chetwood Talbot.
Right.
Not a 34. No pies for me.
Note taken. Sorry about that. Thank you.
At the dinner table.
Miss Harriet has told me of your marvellous plan.
Plan? Well, not so much of a plan, really, as more of a feasibility study.
Theoretically possible, you said, Dr. Jones?
Theoretically.
Indeed. It would be a miracle of God if it were to happen.
I'm more of a facts and figures man myself.
You're not a religious man?
No. No, I'm not.
But you're a fisherman, Dr. Jones.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
How many hours do you fish before you catch something? Dozens?
Oh, gosh, hundreds sometimes.
Is that a good use of your time for a facts and figures man? But you persist in the wind and the rain and the cold with such poor odds of success. Why? Because you're a man of faith, Dr. Alfred. And in the end, you are rewarded for your faith and constancy with a fish.
With due respect, fishing and religion are hardly the same thing, Your Excellency.
With equal respect, I have to disagree. A toast?
He raises his glass of orange juice.
To faith and fish.
To faith and fish.
To faith and fish. And science.
And science.
The three of them sip their drinks. Fred's having water, Harriet white wine.
You're unhappy tonight, Miss Harriet.
No, I'm fine, really.
I had too many wives not to know when a woman is unhappy. Though mine are not so quiet about it.
Robert, he's my boyfriend, has just been posted to Afghanistan, or somewhere.
Oh. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
For how long?
They don't really tell us things like that.
How worrying.
I just try not to think about it.
And you are married, Dr. Alfred?
Indeed.
It is kind of her to spare you.
My wife's actually working abroad at the moment, in Geneva, so...
So you two have more in common than one might suppose? I have put my feet in it. Please, forgive me. Perfect moment to retire to bed. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for a lovely evening.
You're welcome. Dr. Alfred.
Your Excellency.
I know you have been persuaded to help us, but unless you do this with an open heart, I don't think anything will come of it. So please, consider.
Of course.
I hope we meet again.
The Sheik heads off up the stairs. Later.
Dr. Jones?
Yes?
Well, I was just wondering what you thought.
Well, the Sheik's English has a certain tendency towards the mystical, don't you think? But then, Doolally, as this entire enterprise clearly is, I've had the most pleasant day I can remember having for quite a long time. So if the Sheik is paying, as it were, on we go.
Great.
Good night, Miss Chetwood Talbot.
Good night, Dr. Jones.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
They retire to their neighbouring rooms. A misty morning dawns over the lake. The sun penetrates the murky depths, revealing a myriad of salmon swimming around. Sugden speaking to someone over the computer.
Have you any idea what an outcry there would be if the Environment Agency stripped British rivers of 10,000 salmon and shipped them off to the effing Yemen?
Well, how many can you spare?
None! Christ, Bernard. Anglers, they're obsessive crazies. You think Al-Qaeda are a threat? Think again, mate. I've seen a fly fisherman wade into a river and try and drown a canoeist just for passing by in a day-glow jacket. You haven't got a hope in hell of getting these fish from British rivers.
Yes?
Dr. Jones. Hello.
Miss Chetwood Talbot, how nice. Did we book a meeting?
No, you know how you said that you wanted a meeting with the hydroengineering team from the Three Gorges Dam?
Did I say that?
Yes.
That might have been a little hasty.
They're outside.
Who?
The chief hydroengineering team from the Three Gorges Dam.
Here?
I emailed them about the flow rate calculus, and I think there must have been some kind of... My Mandarin is very rusty.
Bloody hell. We are able to control the flow of water from the upstream dam. But we are... Well, we're concerned about the capability of the sandstone walls. I mean, there's the possibility also of flash flood scenarios.
Sugden peers through the slatted blinds of his office.
Thank you very much.
God, do you think we got away with it?
Do you know, I think we did.
I'm so sorry, Dr. Jones.
No, please don't apologise. I think we've just found our engineers.
Yes.
I mean, should the project, of course, get that far. Your Mandarin was much better than I expected.
Thank you.
Bernard Sugden, head of department.
Hello.
Old Fred not bothering you too much, I hope.
Nope.
Miss Chetwood Talbot from Fitzharrison Price.
Hello.
But he doesn't even know your first name, does he? So, who were all those little chippy-chappies, huh?
Those are the engineers from the Three Gorges Dam.
What, the one in China?
Is there another one?
Would have appreciated an introduction.
Bernard is the man who's responsible for acquiring our 10,000 native Atlantic salmon. How's that coming along, Bernard?
Don't you worry about that, Fred. It's all in hand.
Well, don't dilly-dally. Our end is coming along. We're bang on schedule,
yes.
In fact.
A debrief in the canteen, or has Fred brought in the famous sandwiches?
Miss Chetwood Talbot and I are going out for lunch, right. Bernard. There's lots to discuss. Claire, could you ask Betty to bring my bag? Thank you.
As the waiter's pouring champagne.
You sure you won't have one?
At lunchtime?
Dr. Jones, I haven't spoken a word of Mandarin for about 4 years, so I am celebrating even if you're not.
I only drink alcohol on the weekend, and even then only after 7.
No exceptions?
None that I can think of. Well, yeah, we got married on a Friday, but I think it was as I recall, a bank holiday in Northern Ireland, so I allowed myself, I think, a glass on a technicality. That was an attempt at a joke, Miss Chetwood Talbot.
Oh, right. Good one. Do you really think it's going extremely well?
What?
The project.
Oh, the project.
Well, it's utter nonsense, of course, naturally. The bagatelle of a man with more money than sense, but I haven't actually found anything to say that it couldn't work. You know, theoretically, of course.
In theory. Well, theoretically speaking, in theory, it...
And of course.
See. Yes.
Actually, these are the companies that have bid for the contract to build the holding tanks at the downstream end of the water. Should we go through these?
Now?
Yes, we could go through them now. Well, we could work in each, no?
Yes, yes, all right then.
This one's
before
from...
Before that, cheers.
Cheers.
Very bad luck with water.
Some people think it's bad luck.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. Oh, it's the Barrett. Oh, it's Robert. Sorry.
Oh, no, go
Hello.
Ahead.
Hello? Yes?
Her face falls.
What? What?
She hurries out. Outside, on the walkway overlooking the river, she leans against the wall. Then she crouches down, touching a hand to her forehead in shock. Fred comes out.
Are you all right, Miss Chetwood Talbot?
He's missing in action. What does that mean?
Come upstairs and we'll get
you.
No,
I just need a minute. Hello, my name's Harriet Chetwood Talbot. Well, I only knew him for 3 weeks, but I am Robert's girlfriend. I was wondering if you knew anything. Of course, yes. Sorry, Mrs. Myers, yes, I... Yes, of course. Goodbye.
You've reached Harriet Chetwood Talbot.
Miss Chetwood Talbot, it's Dr. Jones here. Please forgive me for calling you on your home number. Was it something of a loss? I realize that this has not been an easy week for you, but I was wondering when you might be coming back into the office. I had a very productive meeting with the engineers from the British Oxygen Company, and there's a lot of data coming in, really a considerable amount. I'm sure I don't have to remind you that we are working to a deadline. Time and tide, as I am sure you are aware, waits for no man or woman. Anyway, I look forward to hearing from you at your earliest convenience. Goodbye.
Harriet was listening to the whole message. Another day, and Fred's part of the daily stream of people heading to work. Suddenly, he stops walking, turns, and heads back in the opposite direction, against the flow of commuters. Now, he's at Harriet's door.
Can I come in?
Why?
You might get cold.
She goes inside, and he follows her in.
Very nice.
What?
Your flat, very pleasant.
He puts his briefcase down on the coffee table and takes off his coat. Then he opens up his briefcase.
Look, I'm not coming into work, all right, because I need to stay here. I need to be here in case there's news. So, actually, anyone with a shred of understanding or humanity or simple feeling who, frankly, wasn't suffering from some kind of Asperger's would know that the last thing that I need is your bullying little phone call asking me to come into work so that you can update me on fish. You want to fill me in on fishing? Well, Dr. Jones, you can take your work and you can shove it up your unfeeling ass.
I didn't come here to talk to you about work.
Then why are you here?
I made you a sandwich.
Why?
You're probably not eating, are you?
She shakes her head.
No. You see, it's very important. You must eat something. Miss Chetwood Talbot. Here.
She falls into his arms,
what to do. I don't know what to do because I'm so sorry, Dr. Jones.
Call me, Fred. Just call me Fred. You're all right now?
Yeah.
You all right?
Sorry.
No, don't. Why don't I get a plate and you can put this on a plate?
No, it's okay. I'll do it.
He goes back over to the sofa, putting the packet of sandwiches down on the coffee table. Then he sits down. Finding a thread on the sofa, he starts winding it around two fingers.
I'm so sorry about what I said before. That is just unforgivable.
The great thing about people with Asperger's is it's very difficult to hurt their feelings. So it's all right, you can say whatever you like.
You don't have... You know, I was upset.
And rightly so. Look, I took the liberty of buying a wee bottle of wine. Now, I hope you don't mind. I know it's not the weekend, but this one goes very well with duck.
I'm not very hungry.
Harriet, you've got to try and eat. Is it all right for me to call you Harriet?
She laughs despite herself and nods. Later, she's tucking into the sandwich.
My father is, he's ex-army, so he's, like, very stiff upper lip and don't make a fuss about anything, but I'm more of a gusher. I think that's his word for me anyway. My upper lip's never been very stiff, I'm afraid.
But you still have a boyfriend. I mean, I don't know a great deal about such things, but Robert hasn't been listed as being dead, has he?
No, but I just feel that missing in action is army speak for...
Dead? No, as a civil servant, I happen to know that the Ministry of Defence absolutely hate uncertainty of any kind. If he were dead, they would simply say, dead.
Can you stop using that word, please?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
It's okay. They say that they'll call when there's news. But they don't, so I guess there isn't.
Come to the Yemen. We're leaving tomorrow, just for a few days. Geological studies, engineering surveys. We even have a team of archaeologists checking we're not about to submerge the Ark of the Covenant, which would be unfortunate, you know?
No, I can't leave because there might be news and...
Well, then you'll fly back on the Sheikh's private jet immediately.
Why would he do that?
Because I asked him to. Your services are very highly valued by the Sheikh and by me. The project really can't do without you.
Oh, who the hell cares? Project, I mean, it's fishing, you know, who the hell cares?
Well, strangely enough, I do. I mean, I know it's probably just a terrible folly, but still, I can't help sometimes imagining that this crazy enterprise might just come off. You know, with a bit of luck and with the right people. And you are most definitely one of the most rightist people that I've had the good fortune to come across. If you'll forgive the grammatical inadequacies of that sentence.
Homing in on the Yemen, on a map of the world. Then the door of a jet plane opens and Harriet steps out into the sunshine, with Fred right behind her. The jet has landed in the middle of a desert and a fleet of vehicles have come to meet them. Now, the convoy of three vehicles is making its way across a barren, stony landscape, in the back of an open-topped pickup truck.
Do you sometimes think that maybe we're just part of a lavish practical joke?
What do you mean, salmon here? Yes, I'm beginning to suppose that.
The truck heads up a path to a cluster of buildings set into the dry hillside. Fred and Harriet are jolted as the truck comes to a stop. On one side, a man's trying to herd black goats. On the other, a group of men are praying.
I don't know anyone that goes to church anymore.
I don't think I do either.
On a Sunday, we go to Tesco's.
A man with a grey beard, sporting a headscarf and carrying a rifle on his back, watches the three vehicles drive past and disappear into the distant hills.
You know, this gravel here is perfect for salmon to lay their eggs in between. Who would have thought that, eh? In the middle of the Yemen, perfect spawning grounds for salmon.
He and Harriet are sitting side by side on rocks, staring out at the barren landscape.
Fred, look.
What? Oh, yes.
A woman walking towards them with an urn on her head.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They sip water from terracotta cups.
Harriet, the water.
It's beautiful.
It's cold. The water in her well is cold.
Now, the two of them are walking along a dark, rocky clifftop. They come to a stop and stare out at a sight far below them.
Oh my goodness. It's really happening, Fred.
Oh my goodness, it really is.
A small group of men have gathered behind them. The valley below is filled with dust and machinery at work. As the Sheikh stands surveying his surroundings, Fred and Harriet climb down from the back of the pickup truck. A man leads a group of other men up to the Sheikh. He points at him aggressively as he talks. Harriet and Fred are watching from below. Fred makes a move to come up and the Sheikh goes over to meet him.
Unbelievable. These men, they say that by bringing water, life to this desert, I am bringing the western ways to our land. They say I have insulted God himself. I say they are fools. A thousand apologies, my friends. Please, this is not a way to introduce you to our great enterprise. Look. Is it not magnificent?
It's beautiful.
It certainly is.
Bloody amazing.
Hello.
Hello.
The Sheikh's manservant films them as they sit on a rug on the ground, and the Sheikh shows them the plans. Now, the Sheikh's talking to some local women who are showing him a bucket. He explains things calmly to them, then does the same to a local man. As his manservant films the Sheikh, Harriet and Fred walking towards him, the Sheikh takes the camera and turns it on him. His manservant smiles and Harriet and Fred put their arms around him.
For the last time, Sutton, there is absolutely no way I can get you these fish.
Tom, this comes from the top, the very top.
I don't care if God's taken up fly fishing.
Now, I suggest you make this work, Tom.
Is that a threat, Sutton?
These are difficult days, Tom. Cuts everywhere. I don't know. Is the Environment Agency a frontline service?
It is a threat.
See it as an opportunity.
Sugden shuts off the video link to Tom Price Williams.
Well then, an opportunity. Hillary, get me Matthew's suite from Fly Fishing Monthly, will you?
Headlines in fishing magazines, on internet news sites and in papers. Save our salmon from Shady Sheikh. Then a photo of Sugden with the headline, Face of Evil. Fred's toying with a piece of thread. He looks out of his tent, which has been positioned near the end of the water-filled wadi.
That's all I've been told, and so, okay. All right then, well, please call me. Okay, bye. I'm so sorry, did I wake you up?
No. News?
No, I was just, leaving a message on Robert's phone. Which is ridiculous, because he hasn't got his phone with him. And I know that. turning into a mad woman.
No. No, when things get tricky in my life, I talk to my fish. I have a pond. Talking to an answering machine is no madder than chatting to koi carp.
Just somehow wouldn't associate you with having a tricky life.
Well, it wouldn't do to talk about your emotions with a colleague, would it, Miss Chetwood Talbot? No, I think things are beyond tricky, really. They have been for some time. Neri's in Geneva, I'm here. The koi carp are alone in Surrey. We got married very young.
Sorry, I didn't really know things were hard.
No, don't apologize. There's always hope. For me and for you.
They sit in the chairs Fred brought out of his tent for them and stare out over the wadi.
Do you know, I can't even remember what he looks like. Not exactly. But I'm stuck and can't move on. Does that make any sense?
Yes, totally. I feel a bit like I've been stuck for years.
Yes, but you can move on.
Well, and I suppose in theory.
You should be happy, Fred.
He gives an unconvincing nod, and she gets up.
I knew you'd have a pond.
She walks away, and Fred half smiles to himself, turning to glance at her as she heads inside a tent. Outside a tent in the middle of nowhere, a burly man's talking to a younger man. He grabs a newspaper back from him, then turns to a young rebel sitting cleaning his rifle. He says the traitor has had his chance. He throws down the paper with a photo of the Sheikh on the front page. You know what to do. Do not fail me. The young rebel stares at him in dismay. The Sheikh is watching the film of him, Fred, and Harriet that his manservant took.
I think the idea of taking Scottish salmon to a foreign country is absolutely absurd. These fish have been running these rivers for tens of thousands of years. I fished the rivers of Scotland all my life.
Yes, Prime Minister, it would appear that the gentle fisherfolk are not so effing gentle after all.
Rape and pillage of our national rivers in
pursuit. What, ditch the whole thing? No, 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 Prime Minister, no. We must just find the fish somewhere bloody else. Oh!
A pack of salmon's fallen out of her fridge. Now, Patricia's arrived at the Sheikh's castle on the banks of the Scottish Loch.
Your turrets are blocking my reception.
Well, I'm terribly sorry about that, madam. If you'd care to follow me, please. Mrs. Maxwell.
Pleasure to meet you.
It's an honour.
Oh, happy birthday, Patricia. Oh, yes. Two of the few more like you in Cabinet. Very good, Your Excellency.
I'm grateful indeed that you could spare some time for our little project.
Oh, yes. Well, we have gone on a bit of a limb for you, Your Excellency, but the Prime Minister does love his fishing.
Really?
Oh, yes. Rod's never out of his hand. Anyway, down to business. The fish, the salmon. We're not going to get it out of British waters. There's a bloody big fuss about it, there's no doubt you've heard. Don't know what it is about fishing. Anyway, no-goer.
Yes, but I thought...
However, I have solved your problem. See? There must be thousands in this one alone. This guy's got four fish farms up and down the coast. Stocks all in Tesco's, right under the nose.
These fish were bred for the dinner table. It's barbaric. They've never run in their lives. Neither of their forebears for two generations. Why would they run for us? We'd open the sluices and they would just drift off downstream, never to be seen again.
Well, get a couple of days fishing out of it, then just restock or whatever the word is. Seems to be no shortage of them.
In transit for the supermarkets.
These fish will never run. They're just not right.
Not right? Well, fish is a fish is a fish, isn't it?
No. You see, Mrs. Maxwell, I have a vision. Tired, bloated pretenders are not part of this vision.
Well, unfortunately, Her Majesty's government also has a vision, and that vision is farm fish or no fish.
Then I must thank you for your precious time and decline.
No advisors either. Back at your desk on Monday, Fred.
Well, in that case, I resign.
Resignation accepted.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
So, this leaves us with what?
Well, with no salmon.
We must have faith, Dr. Alfred.
Well, that's a very laudable sentiment, Your Excellency, but we're running out of time. Can't catch faith with a fishing rod.
They're fishing in the river. Someone in a kilt and carrying a pistol steps up behind a tree on the hillside and looks down over the river where the Sheikh's fishing in his robes. Fred's a little further upstream in his waders. It's the young rebel. Harriet comes down the lane.
Hello, Fred.
Fred waves to her. The young rebel steps out from behind the tree and Harriet's face falls.
Sheikh Mohammed bin Zadi! Fani Dawa!
He pulls out his pistol. Fred whips his fishing line at him, hitting him in the face.
Are you okay? Are you okay? I don't think you look right, that man. And he pulled out a gun, are you all right?
Yes.
Are you sure?
A man's grabbed the rebel.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Alfred. Thank you very much.
Don't be silly. Don't be silly. It was only a cast, really.
A very good cast. An essential cast, one might say.
Yes, I suppose one might say that. Here.
Oh my God, Fred, are you all right?
Yeah, yeah. It was very quick. It was over in a flash, really.
How did you do that?
I did a right-handed snake roll. Did I get him?
Yes, that was extraordinary. In. Are you all right?
Yes, thank you very much. Please, continue your work as if nothing had happened.
Of course, of course.
I owe you my life.
Oh, no, please, come on, anyone would...
This is not one of those British metaphors, Dr. Alfred. The debt will be repaid. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The Sheikh's men help him up the hillside. The House of Commons on TV.
In response to the Right Honourable Member's question of the 7th of last month, the Minister of Defence can now confirm that an engagement by British Special Forces against known terrorists did occur on the 13th of September. The details of this operation are classified. However, I am at liberty to say that serious casualties were incurred by the British forces. I deeply regret to inform the House that there were no survivors. An internal investigation is being carried out.
Harriet's watching in shock. Fred's standing behind her as she sits down. Later, he comes out of his bedroom at the Sheikh's house and listens at Harriet's door. He opens the door. Harriet's sitting on the edge of the bed in the dimly lit room. Fred walks round the bed and sits down beside her. He reaches out to take her hand.
I'm sorry to wake you up.
No, don't be.
I just... I just never got the chance to really know him.
Morning, and Fred's lying on his side on top of the bed covers watching Harriet sleep. He's in his pyjamas and dressing gown. Moving slowly and quietly so as not to wake her, he gets up off the bed. He opens the door of her room, then turns to look at her, still sleeping. He watches her for a long moment with a frown, then shuts the door on his way out. Now he's travelling back to his home in Surrey. He walks up the suburban street to his house, pulling out his keys. As he heads up the drive, he spots his wife through the living room window. She walks out of the room without seeing him. He steps inside.
Mary?
Fred? Oh, there you are.
I had no idea you were...
I got a day off and thought, why not surprise him? I've got this wonderful Swiss Mountain Comté from a little shop round the corner in Geneva. Is everything all right, Fred? Where's your suit and tie? Day off?
I resigned.
Don't be ridiculous. You've resigned. What about your pension? It's final salary.
Well, the government pulled out of the salmon fishing project and we'd put a lot of time and energy into it. I didn't want to walk away from that.
We?
Well, everyone involved. I'm still being paid, if that's what you're worried about. Fitzharris and Price have been more than just...
I might have known she'd be involved.
If you're referring to Harriet, we're working on the project together. Of course she's involved.
Harriet!
What do you mean exactly by that, Mary?
I've seen her photograph on the Fitzharris and Price website. You're making a fool of yourself.
Now, it's you that's being ridiculous.
Oh, am I? I'm not the one abandoning a decent, highly respected job for a joke fishing project in a short-skirted office girl.
She's not an office girl.
What is she then, Fred? Hey, just what is she?
She's a colleague. She's a very talented colleague and a... And a friend. She's just a friend.
Now, Fred's outside, feeding the fish in his pond. He sighs heavily. Mary comes out to join him.
Are you in love with her?
I've done nothing, Mary. I have no expectations.
I didn't ask about your expectations. I asked if you were in love with her.
His look tells her everything.
This is a midlife crisis. It's textbook. It's pathetic.
I'm so sorry, Mary.
You'll be back, Fred. Or you'll try. 6 months and you'll be begging to be taken back in. It's in your DNA. You'd think a bloody scientist would know that much.
Later, Mary's climbing into a taxi outside. Fred walks over to the window and watches the car pull away. Then he stares out of the window with a look of trepidation. In slow motion, water churns and streams of bubbles flow as salmon swim upstream. Fred's travelling back to Scotland. Harriet steps out onto the balcony and stares out at wooded hills that border the lake.
We don't need native river fish. We'll be all right with farmed salmon.
Oh.
I know, I don't much like them, but...
Mm.
Well, they will run. I know it. Oh, yes, Your Excellency. Despite our moral and philosophical objections, farmed salmon will run. I'm absolutely sure of it.
You are tireless, Doctor. You have uncovered some new research? A new paper, perhaps?
No, I just know it.
You just know it. I see. Faith, Dr. Alfred?
Damn it, yes, all right then, Faith.
Now, in the Yemen, three helicopters are hovering over the wadi, large containers dangling beneath them. The Sheikh steps out of his tent, and Harriet and Fred stride over to watch. The first container's lowered to the ground. Having climbed on top of it, Fred opens up a circular hatch. Harriet and the Sheikh come to watch as he peers down into it, then reaches in.
So?
They're alive.
Now, a team of men are guiding two white silvery pipes that run from the container into holding areas in the wadi. Harriet and Fred smile as they watch water gushing from them. Then they and the Sheikh throw food in from buckets. The Sheikh's kneeling on a wooden walkway, staring at the salmon milling about in the water beneath his reflection. Patricia's playing a computer game with Joshua.
Sorry, sweetie.
Mrs. Maxwell?
What?
Amazing news. One of the officers presumed dead, Captain Robert Myers, has been found alive.
Oh, good.
Yes, we're very pleased.
Yes, very good.
It's very good news for the family and his girlfriend, Miss Chetwood Talbot.
Oh, wait. Wait. Who else knows about this?
You're the first to know.
Right, keep it that way. Total press embargo, do you understand?
Yes, Mrs.
That salmon fishing thing, is that still happening?
As far as I'm aware.
It is?
Yes.
Yemen?
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, yes, this is all coming together very nicely.
Patricia busies herself on the phone and the computer. She instant messages the Prime Minister asking, can you really fish? He says, yes. She repeats, really? And he says, no. She rolls her eyes, then types, foreign sec can. Can you spare the useless twit for a trip to the Yemen? He replies, yes. As the Sheikh stands, chanting, Fred closes his eyes and Harriet turns to look at him. They're standing on a platform, looking out over an enormous reservoir behind a dam.
I intended to create a small miracle, something to glorify God and bring our tribes together. Sometimes I wonder if we haven't created something that glorifies man. It is a very fine line. Hubris, Dr. Alfred. Hubris.
The tall, curved wall of the dam. Nighttime, and Fred and Harriet are swimming in the wadi. Later, perched on the rocks, Fred reaches in and pulls out a small stone.
You know, Fred, this project saved me. I think. You know, with everything that happened. So those farmed fish had better run.
Oh, I believe they will.
You do?
Yes, I believe that it's in the very core of their being to head upstream, even if they never have, even if their parents' fish never have. Look at this.
Look at that.
A stone.
Mary said something about me. She said that I was genetically programmed to return to a dull pedestrian life with her. That it was in my DNA.
Do you think that you are?
No. No, I belong here. I always have done.
Harriet smiles. Fred comes over to sit beside her.
Harriet.
Yes.
I was wondering about you and me. The theoretical possibility, in the same way as a manned mission to Mars is a theoretical possibility. Obviously.
Or salmon fishing in Yemen.
Uh-huh.
She brushes her damp hair away from her face.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. I just need a little time.
Of course, all the time you want.
Thank you. Thank you.
She kisses him on the cheek. Daytime, and a convoy of vehicles is making its way across the barren landscape. Patricia and the Foreign Secretary have come to meet the Sheikh.
Mr. Foreign Secretary.
Brian Fleet, the great fisherman.
The great fisherman? Well, it has been a little while, to be honest. A bit rusty, you know. Some skills are never forgotten. Please, follow this man to your tent. I shall join you shortly.
What have you been saying?
Fishing's the last thing anyone's going to be interested in. Trust me, get ready for the photo op of a lifetime, Sonny Jim. NSR. New salmon required.
Fred's trimming the feathers on a flight.
Is that, a Willie Jones?
No, this is a new one I've invented.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
This one is called the Chetwood Talbot Beauty.
That's very nice.
It's true.
You're not being funny.
No, I don't have a sense of humour, as you recall.
It is true.
Holding it, she looks at him and smiles.
Beautiful.
Yes, she is.
As they sit side by side on the edge of the wadi, an army helicopter comes into view. Patricia steps out of her tent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Harry gives him back his flight.
Don't you think we should be doing something, Fred? Preparing.
I'm preparing.
Well, for the whole thing.
Everything's done, Harriet. It's fine. Just relax.
Did you just... Dr. Alfred Jones just told me to relax. What is the world coming to?
Suddenly, Robert appears through the dust, walking towards them. Harriet stares at him in shock.
Oh, my God.
She gets to her feet and runs round to meet him.
Harriet.
She covers her mouth with her hands in disbelief. He grabs hold of her and hugs her tightly. She kisses and holds him. Outside her tent, Patricia smiles a sly smile and looks over at Fred, who's watching with a look of dismay. As the army helicopter swoops away overhead, Fred clutches the flight tightly in his hand till it draws blood. Later, Patricia brings Harriet and Robert out to face a crowd of press. Fred watches the commotion from a fair distance.
Stuff is classified anyway. I don't think you'd understand it. The only thing you need to know is that this man, Captain Myers here, is a war hero. Human interest stuff only, sir.
Harriet, can you tell us how it feels?
It feels like it's a shock, but it's wonderful.
At least can we have a kiss?
They kiss. The Sheikh comes to join Fred.
I am sorry, my friend.
No, it's a miracle.
Indeed. Nevertheless, I'm sorry.
All right, gentlemen, I think that's all. A little privacy for the couple, please. I'd just like to say that the British government is proud to have played a small but significant part in this extraordinary reunion of Harriet and Captain Myers.
That night, Harriet blows out the lantern in her tent and comes over to Robert, who's lying in bed watching her. He pulls back the covers, and she sits on the edge of the bed to peel off her trousers. Then she climbs in beside him.
Is this strange?
Bad strange?
No, good strange.
They lie looking at each other.
Do you mind if we don't?
No, of course not. There's no rush.
Well, he just told me.
He puts his arm round her and she turns, so he's spooning her.
How did you get caught up in this, H? Salmon fishing out here. It's ridiculous.
Well, you never know with the Sheikh.
Expect there'll be a 6-star hotel and a golf course before you know it.
That's not his style at all.
Don't you believe it? He's gonna make his money back somehow. They're no fools, these Arabs.
In bed, Fred turns to look at his phone. It's a text from Mary saying, "Don't leave me." He sighs, then starts to text something back. He writes, "I'm so sorry. It's for the best, Mary." He pauses for a moment with an anguished look on his face. Then he presses send. He lies on his back in the flickering light of the tent, thinking. Daytime, and Fred's standing alone a little way up from the tent, staring into the distance. Robert emerges from Harriet's tent and starts to walk up to him.
You don't sleep either?
No, not much.
Wow. At least there's no bloody journos around at this time anyway. You've been very good to Harriet, Fred. I appreciate it.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's really great.
No. I love her.
He stares at Robert intently.
Ah. Does she love you?
I don't know now. Yesterday you weren't alive.
Well, I apologize for not being dead in a ditch.
I don't think I can accept your apology.
Is that a joke?
Yes, yes, sort of. I've never been very good at jokes. It's all right, Robert. Really. It's all right.
He walks off. Later, the press are gathered, taking photos.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The day has arrived. Before the dam, this was a dry riverbed. And now, as you all can see, we have water. And today, we hope we shall discover the one missing thing. So, thank you one and all for coming. As not one of you, not even my dear self, knows if this curious experiment of mine will actually work.
It better have bloody work.
Doesn't matter if it works or not, Dolly. All that matters is you. Fishing on Skye tonight with our war hero.
I haven't done this in years.
Oh, for God's sake, there are 10,000 fish in there. If you can't hook one of them, you must just flip off back to transport.
My intention is to color this desert in green. Make an agricultural industry for my people and the sons and daughters of my people for generations to come.
Right on cue.
Muslims, Christians, and the odd heathen. We are all gathered here in an act of faith. And why not, huh?
And now, Harriet standing awkwardly next to Fred.
The fruits of all our efforts. The moment of truth.
Open the sluices.
The sluices to all the holding areas are opened. Underwater, the salmon start to move. Harriet and Fred watch tensely. The Sheikh toys with his prayer beads. Underwater, Amidst the flow of fish, a single salmon turns and begins to swim upstream.
One minute.
Other fish turn and join him.
Stand around.
The salmon start to leap up over a weir. Fred picks Harriet up and hugs her. Robert's face falls as he watches them. The Sheikh, Fred and Harriet all hug each other and the press crowd by the water's edge to take photos. A soldier's patrolling the dam. Suddenly, he's grabbed from behind. A rope is dangled over the wall and the rebels quickly gain access to the machine room.
Turn it on, Dolly.
I need to get further out.
Oh, for God's sakes. Come on, off you go. Have you got that?
Yes, Mrs. Maxwell, but can we get them closer together?
Go on, give it a go. Robert, darling! Can you turn around a bit?
Worried about what you're doing with this wrong.
As the Foreign Secretary and Robert are photographed fishing, the rebels run up some steps inside the machine room and start turning the wheel to open the dam. Patricia's organising the photo opportunity.
Lovely. And Brian, just a nice smile, that would be good. You get that. God, he's useless, isn't he?
Water gushes out of one of the pipes from the dam.
More fun with that way there, Dr. Alfred.
Yes.
The Sheikh and Fred are fishing in the wadi. Suddenly, a wall of water starts gushing downstream towards them. The Sheikh's fishing rod twitches.
I think I caught one, Dr. Alfred.
Oh, it's a beauty, Your Excellency.
Fred sees the wall of water.
Look out behind you! Your Excellency, behind you!
The water knocks them off their feet, quickly reaching the Foreign Secretary and Robert and submerging them too. The Sheikh manages to cling to a rock and Fred joins him. Gripping onto each other tightly, they struggle to stay above water. The Sheikh gives Fred a foothold up to the top of the rock. Fred grabs his hand. The power of the waters pulling the Sheikh away. Fred grips onto his hand and manages to heave him up onto the rock with him. Exhausted, the Sheikh lies face down on top of the rock. Underwater, a salmon swirls away into the depths. Later, a drenched Fred and Harriet survey the damage to the wadi and the holding areas for the salmon. A fish lies dead behind a broken wall. Fred watches in horror as men cover a dead body with a sheet by the water's edge. A bedraggled Sheikh watches sadly. Fred trudges through the sodden, ruined camp. He walks towards the group of men carrying the dead body up from the river. He stops, standing still as they head past. Suddenly, the wind starts to whip up a cloud of dust around the camp. Fred goes to join Harriet.
We won't need these anymore.
He tosses the fishing rods and tackle onto the fire, then puts his hands in his pockets, looking thoughtful. He glances over at Harriet. She stares sadly back at him. Fred looks away. Robert's standing nearby. He looks over at Harriet too. Nighttime round the campfire.
I just don't understand who would do this. Why would they do this?
I know who, and I know why.
Can't you find them? Arrest them?
What for?
Justice.
Justice. I think these destroyers, bad men certainly, but I think perhaps they have a point. I expected people to understand what we were doing here. I expected them to see that it was really not about fishing at all. In the end, I asked for too much.
Will you try again?
The question is, will we try again? This was ours.
Yes, I think maybe Robert wants to go home. So I don't know.
Does home call, Dr. Fred?
I don't really have a home anymore. There was a moment when I had everything, but... Well, now I don't know what to do.
When the time comes, you will know.
Harriet looks at the Sheik.
Well, until then.
Fred gets to his feet and walks off. The Sheik keeps his eyes on Harriet as she turns to watch him leave. Morning, and belongings are being loaded onto the back of a truck and a 4x4. Fred steps out of his tent. He glances over at Harriet, who's walking over to the 4x4.
Thank you.
She touches Robert's arm.
Just going to say goodbye to Fred.
Are you sure?
Sorry?
Listen, Harriet, when I was in the desert, the only thing that kept me going was the thought of you. You don't owe me anything. I want you to understand that.
She nods. Then she sets off over to Fred, who's a fair distance away outside his tent. Robert stands by the 4x4 to watch as she makes her way over to Fred. Fred takes a few paces towards her.
So, We're going. I'm so sorry, Fred.
It was an extraordinary idea. It almost worked too.
I wasn't talking about the project.
No, I'm not sure that I was.
I never meant to hurt you like this.
It's not your fault.
She's close to tears.
I don't know what to do.
I can't help you there, I'm afraid.
Are you going to stay?
Stay for what? There's nothing here anymore. Not you. Not a single fish left in the river.
Well, someone's going to have to make a move. Good luck, Harriet.
He walks quickly away.
Dr. Alfred! Look!
He turns to see a salmon leaping out of the water.
They're alive!
Harriet looks over at Fred, who's staring at the water in disbelief.
I'm going to stay. I'm going to start again. I'll do it on my own if I have to. I'll start small, though, this time. A different approach, just a few fish to begin with. Involve the local community more. Make it their project, not ours. That's the way to protect it.
Do you need an assistant, Dr. Jones?
Well, I suppose I will. I'm sure the Sheikh is somebody that... An assistant.
A partner.
A partner. Yes, Miss Chetwood Talbot. More than anything.
They step towards each other. Robert looks away and climbs into the 4x4. As he's driven away, Harriet and Fred stand staring into the river. Reflected in the water, Fred reaches out to take Harriet's hand. The sun sets over the barren hills. An instant message from the Prime Minister. Patsy, where are you? She replies, on the next camel out of here. He writes, PR disaster. And she replies, soon to be a PR triumph. Fishing project back up and running. Love in the air. And I smell a front page story. He asks, Foreign Secretary? She replies, alive and well, unfortunately. Can we sack the useless arse? The PM says, you mean redeploy his extensive talents elsewhere? Fisheries? She says, perfect.
Ewan McGregor narrates this unique nature special looking at wildlife through the eyes of the Vikings. Wild Where the Vikings, tomorrow at 9:30 on BBC Two. Don't forget we've got Films on Films, whatever your mood, whatever your taste. Box set your summer on BBC iPlayer.